irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ronan Rosner.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's always a pleasure.
Tell you that, you know, I had a little thing before the show. It got me upset, and now I see
and now you're
the
on.
Vibes, the energies.
Chock of Thunder walked in the room, and just all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you know what? This guy looks like a teddy bear. I can't be upset. You know what? That's kind of what this is. It's good. I sit in traffic, yeah. And I get pissed. I have like the craziest road rage.
I know what you mean.
And then I get here, and I'm like, everything's great. Yeah. Look at this. We have this beautiful view. We're exactly. Doing radio. It's awesome.
Yep.
How was your weekend?
It was good. I mean, the entire summer has been, you know, it passed really fast. My family's in Israel, you know, wife and daughters.
Wow.
7 weeks.
Must be hot. Is it hot over there?
Hot
right now?
And humid.
Ooh. But and, awesome, too. I'm sure they're, like, with family.
Of course. Seeing, you know, their... My daughters were born and they grew up here, so they don't know... they never met their families.
Do they go to the Dead Sea and do that?
Oh, everything.
That's awesome.
You know, Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing them the places that we grew up, so...
That's amazing.
And for me, it's 7 weeks of Ronan time.
That means late nights, the guitars come out.
You know what?
Turn
exactly that. If you see my living room, it's like a mini studio right now.
It's like, this is the way bachelor life should always be forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. No, it's kind of funny. It's one of those things when you live with a woman, it's... Everything, all your
and
toys.
Kids.
Yeah, and kids too. Well, I don't have kids, but I just have a bulldog who's kind of like a kid.
Exactly.
But, you know, all the guys' toys, you're confined to a small little closet or a small little room, a man cave, if you will. And you have to just play with your toys in that man cave, and that's it. But when you can let it all loose.
So true.
Let it all out, hang loose, risky business style.
And not having to, you know, pick up everything and put it back.
Yeah. That, you're like, oh, yeah, this is like a vacation.
It is. It is a vacation. And I'm so productive, you know. Now, yeah, I have time to fix things, DIY, and go to the hardware store.
Well, and you also have peace and quiet. You can watch TV. You can watch the shows you want to watch.
Of course.
You've got the remote. You're not haggling over the remote.
I've been catching up on Game of Thrones. I'm still behind last season, so no spoilers.
I want no spoilers, but I will say this. Last week's episode was one of my favorites.
I've heard.
And this week's episode was good. I watched it this morning, actually. I watched it last night, but I was like, did I sleep through parts of it? I'm going to make sure I didn't. And so I watched it again today, and I was like, man, I want to get, you know, I want to get dressed up in, you know, Dungeons & Dragons gear and just kinda parade around the place. You
did
know?
You hear that in this season, season 7, what's his name? The people from the north, the Night's Watch. The Night's Watch, Jon Snow. And they got those furs, those fur coats.
Yeah.
You heard that these are actually IKEA rags.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and,
awesome.
Now IKEA even released
like make some money now.
Like a little do-it-yourself how to make the rag to look like that. Those
you know coats. Where I'm gonna have to go this weekend. I'm gonna have to go to IKEA and get me a Night's Watch. You know, rug.
Right.
I'll look ridiculous, but you know, in the middle of summer, putting that thing on, but I will feel cool, and that's where all the points
matter.
And
you got the beard already.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? There's some... You know what? I really think this is the season of the dragons, because there's so much dragon footage. And I'm just like, you know, I guess the little kid in me comes out when I see dragons. I'm like, yeah, dude, this is what I've been waiting for it to just get crazy like this, you know? So you're gonna enjoy this season. So are you like in sixth season?
I'm still in six. Yeah, I'm catching up.
All right. The end of six is amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't give you any spoilers, but
I'm almost at the end. A couple more episodes.
So do you like binge watching Game of Thrones? Because then you can just go back to
and
back.
Not just Game of Thrones. Whenever I like it now, I like the idea of binge watching, because nowadays, especially when you watch it online, no commercials, you just pop, episodes one after the other. So I mean, and you catch up really quick. So sometimes, I do wait. Like there's a sci-fi series called The Expanse. It's on Sci-Fi Channel, and I just waited on both because I read the books and I really like it. But I just waited for the seasons to end. It's like 10 episodes per season, and I just binge watch it.
There's something great about when there's like a cliffhanger ending of an episode, and you don't have to wait a week.
Exactly.
That's the best.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh my God, I can't wait, and it's on.
Yeah, you
know,
and then you can skip over the last time on.
Yep, yes, yep.
So you just skip straight to the opening.
There's always a refresher. But you know, there's always, like, whenever they play those refreshers, I'm like, oh, I forgot that happened, because they'll like pull stuff from like season three. They'll pull stuff like way back, and it's like, oh, I totally forgot about that character, and now he's just going to be revived for some reason, you know.
But so that's one thing we should thank Netflix. I'm not a subscriber, but I think they were the first ones to actually release series,
and they're actually funding movies now. They're doing a ton of movies. They're doing a ton of TV shows, comedy specials.
Yeah,
I think it's like the new wave of how people are going to just like take in content.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because people are like, movie theaters are kind of overpriced or really expensive. I still like going to movies.
Me too.
I still like the theater experience. But it's losing its value because it's so overpriced.
Yeah.
And by the time you pay for parking and treats. Yeah. And,
true. And also, price is one thing, but the quality and the size of our TVs now. And you see everything.
My parents just got a 4K TV.
Whoa, I never watched that.
Man, it is awesome. I was watching a football game, and it's not even, it's just HD, but just the fact that it has the capacity, it's even better than anything that's like 1080.
Is it curved?
It's not curved, but they almost went with a curved TV, but somebody told me, like, don't go with a curved, because the picture quality is not as good. So some of the 4K footage that you can watch on it, it's like I'm in the tropics watching some lizard, like, eating a fly, and I'm, like, right there. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy, crazy thing. But anyways, I went and saw, the funny thing is I went to the Rose Bowl flea market, and, I wanted to go see a movie in the theater, and the only movie that was in the perfect slot for me to go see a movie was Girls Trip. So I went and saw Girls Trip, but you know what? Got an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
It was hilarious. I actually loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, dude, this is an entertaining movie. I can't believe I'm here watching Girls Trip, but man, I love watching movies, period. Doesn't matter.
I agree.
Good movie is a good movie, you know? So I actually laughed quite a bit and got some cool music stuff from the Rose Bowl Fest. Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl Swap?
No, movie? Not yet.
Dude, it's amazing.
Once a month. No,
it's every second Sunday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And people come from all over the country and set up booths. And, I mean, it's just the stuff you find. You find little berry baskets to music records to, clothes made out of hemp or, anything. Dream catchers that are the size of your head. I mean, just random stuff. And anything you can think of being creative, it's there. So, and then there's this whole other section where you can go find, like, a 1920s leather bag, like crazy stuff. I mean, it's nuts the stuff you can find.
Nice.
So I'll check it out. I've gone like once or twice before, and I just always, it's so funny that I walk in, and you're supposed to like go check out all the shops, but like I walk in and immediately find like 10 things I want within like 20 feet. I'm like, then I'm like, okay, I'm out of money. I'm just, because everything's cash. So
okay.
Once you spend your money, that's it. You're just walking around looking at stuff like, oh, I should have waited and I'll have to come next month.
Maybe you could barter. I don't know.
Yeah, I've tried. I usually do that with records. But yeah, man. Anyways, it looks like our special guest has arrived. Miss Jessica Bird. Oh, our studio audience loves you. Say hello.
Applause. Wow.
I know. You see, you deserve it. It
makes me feel so loved.
Well, you are loved. And you know what? It's been a long time since you've been on Wake Up Hollywood. Jessica Ronan was one of our first guests on the first year of Wake Up Hollywood.
Okay.
And it had been so long. I was like, I need to get you back. Like, you haven't even been to the new digs.
It was a while back.
You were one of the reasons we have a radio show in the first place.
Nice.
So she's one of my favorite artists that we've showcased in years past. But I'm really happy to have you back.
It's really cool to be here.
She's awesome, too. She's an amazing singer, amazing songwriter. She's been doing all kinds of craziness. From writing to she performed at Verizon Wireless, which is nuts. Mm. She's been just, you know, making records, making videos. I mean, you're living it up. You're living the dream, kid.
Wow. You make me feel good about myself.
See, that's the way it should be. Well, right?
Sort of exactly. Having an iffy day before this. If I ever need a pep talk, I should
just come in
to you guys.
Just like, that's it. Just come be on the radio.
Yeah.
That's how that works. Like, I'm gonna. You know what? The cool thing about doing this radio show, I learned more about people in this hour than I've known for 20 years, 30 years in some cases. Hmm. So let's get right down to it. What made you want to be a singer? What was the thing that made you fall in love with music? What was that Zen moment?
That Zen moment. I'm not sure if I could pinpoint it down to one moment. I feel like there's been many moments.
one song that you heard and you said, that's what I want to do.
I think it started as a kid, to be honest. I think my parents knew sort of from a young age when my mom, bless my mom's heart, she would make me costumes like the Disney princesses.
That's awesome.
Right? Because I love the movies so much. Like you said, I love movies, and that was my favorite thing when I was like 7, 8 years old. And I'd be watching Little Mermaid, Lion King, and my mom would make me these costumes because I would see the costume with the picture of Belle on it, and I just wouldn't have it because Belle's dress doesn't have a picture of her on it. And so my mom would make these dresses from scratch, and I would learn the songs, every word. And I think that, honestly, when I look back on my life, I think that those songs are some of the things that got me really passionate about music, and I just want to sing all the time. And maybe kind of even developed my vibrato sound that I have that's really fast. And
well, it's also like you're watching an animated movie, and then it just adds to the story, and this song just gives you the emotion of the story. So you're like, I'm in from the first note. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I was running around the house as Pocahontas. You know, I was dancing with my dad to Beauty and the Beast as a little kid.
Singing the songs to him, too?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I was in the pool as Little Mermaid, you know, singing Part of Your World. That was probably my favorite one.
How old were you? Probably 8?
Probably.
7?
Yeah.
That's adorable. You're like, I grew up as a Disney princess.
Yeah, and so when Beauty and the Beast recently came out, I just lost it. I thought I was going to be fine, and you know, I was like, I'm not going to cry. I got through the whole movie. I was like, oh wow, this is so well done, and I'm just loving it the whole time. I'm there with my family, and when she comes out in the yellow dress,
you're like,
I'm just like, ah.
They're making a Lion King version of that now.
They're making everything live action.
I think
now.
It's awesome.
Dumbo's coming out next week.
Dumbo.
See this?
With Will Smith.
They're going to bring out the inner princesses and all of us, Renee.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I'm going to have to ask your mom if she can make me a Disney outfit now, because now I'm really inspired.
She can do a lot of things. She even made me the necklace that Pocahontas wears, like out of.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know how she does it.
She's a woman of detail. That's
exactly.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right, so then you started singing Disney songs.
Yep.
And did you like sing in a church? Did you sing in high school or anything like that? What was the choral background that you had?
So after that, once I got into school, when I was in elementary school, you know, we had our weekly music teacher, Sandy Hines, if she ever is listening to this. You were awesome. and I loved that, and I still love singing. But when I got into high school, I feel like that's when things really took a turn. My dad still describes it to this day. I've heard the story a million times of when I was playing soccer, and and he was trying to get me to practice because he was my coach, and we had a really important game the next day, and I was singing a song. And it was so frustrating to him because all he wanted me to do was just focus on the ball and the follow through and all this stuff, and I was just singing a song, and he's like, she is not doing this right now. And
she's giving a concert dressed in cleats.
And
that would be a unique...
That could be a vibe.
Yeah.
Ever since that moment, I think I played soccer up until I started high school, and then after that I never played another game, and I got into show choir, and I was really lucky that my parents picked a school, Los Alamitos High School. Hello alumni, you guys are have an amazing choir program, and I was really lucky.
That's amazing. And what kind of music did you do when you were in high school? So you say show choirs, and not a lot of people know. Are you doing cover songs? Are you doing jazz arrangements? Are you singing a cappella?
Yeah, we did multiple things. They had a zero period, which they call concert choir.
It's like early, what, 7 a.m.?
Yeah, it started at 6:50.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah, my sister's been going through that now.
A singer's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's just obnoxious. Like, why start school at 6:50? That's just
cool.
You can
do that. You can do anything.
Yes.
So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. No offense. But yeah, that choir was more classical and kind of did some a cappella things and really opened my eyes to arrangements. And but then I was in what they call their advanced mixed show choir. So guys and girls, and you're singing music of all different kinds. You do some classical based stuff. You do pop things that are done in these really cool choral arrangements, and you do choreography. And when I say choreography, you guys probably are like, oh yeah, you do a little dance moves with your with your singing, a little step touch, that's cute. But if you look at some of the stuff that some of the
you're
choreography that they give us that they gave us, and the stuff that they're doing now is even on the next level. It's really quite incredible the things that they can do all singing.
And they're singing, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in a show choir, so I know I know the terrain, Jessica. It's not something I tell many people, because as a girl, when you're like, oh, I'm in a show choir, it's cool. Like telling my boys, yeah, man, I'm going to go sing in a show choir with the sequence.
Cool.
I'll be right back. And we had pink sequence. So it was like, dude, I'm never going to hear this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, go bold or go home.
Wow. You know, like, I didn't know that.
Oh, man. It was pretty brutal.
But isn't it a way to meet girls?
It is. You know what? That's what made it awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're getting ribbed by your friends that are playing football and stuff, and you're like, I got to go do my show choir rehearsal. It's not that much fun. No, it really was, though. I loved it. Like, the funny thing is, you get heckled, but you know there's a reason for it, you know? So, and what she's saying is absolutely completely correct. You do all this crazy dancing, and it's like a workout, and you're rehearsing. I'm sure you rehearse like we rehearse.
All the time.
You're rehearsing all the time for hours and hours and hours. Yeah, after school, into, like, I remember we used to do Tuesday night rehearsals. I'm sure you did. Some weeknight where it was like brutal. And you'd have like crazy tests in school, but you'd be singing and dancing all these like show choir songs. But you realize you also create these musical bonds. Mm-hmm. So that probably is what made you also love music more than sports. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, I still miss soccer, and I still love sports and being active and everything. But I think that just, I don't know, music just had a whole nother world to offer me, you know, that was just endless. And sports is the same in that way, but I don't know, just for me, it was like an excitement that I couldn't explain, that I just, I don't know.
You're like, this
I
is
love
it.
Singing, yeah.
So then when did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar probably the summer before I met you, Nikki.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Before I don't know if it was the drive of starting music school that made me want to do it or what, but it was just that summer Oh my gosh, I remember it like it was yesterday. I picked up the guitar. I could not play at all. I'd never picked up a guitar and actually tried to play. And I was singing the song by Pink. I think it's called Perfect. And I was just playing the chords so slowly, playing a chord, waiting like 1,001, 1,002, 1,003.
Well, we've all been there.
That's right. That's how you start. You learn to crawl before you walk.
Memory, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, and Taylor Swift songs. Yeah. That was, I was like, what do you mean? I can only know these four chords and play everything known to man? So that was like a huge eye opening of, I can do this and I can play so many different songs and
sound good. Like you like, oh, I've got this choral background which taught me how to sing, and now I can combine it with being a musician and playing songs that I love. Like there's there is an excitement with that.
Yeah.
So what made you want to write?
Around that same time when I had that idea click inside my head that was like, oh wow, I don't have to know very much on an instrument to be able to find a chord progression, and I already had so much knowledge of what I had learned in choir and, you know, like I said, Disney songs and just music that I loved already. You know, you sort of have a vocabulary of melodies in your head, and I think it just was sort of me playing a simple progression and spitting it out in a new order. Like, I can do whatever I want, and that was a crazy realization. Yeah, and it excited me. It was frustrating at first, but I wanted to do it.
Well, let's get into a performance real quick. What are you going to play us first?
Okay, I thought that I would play you guys a new song.
Yeah.
That's never been heard by, I don't even think, my family.
That's awesome.
Over the past couple of months, I've got a good friend, Corey Hunter. Do you know him? He was at Llama, bass player.
Yeah.
Hey, Corey, if you're listening. But he's been so great to write with because, you know, we just show up and we say, hey, catch up very quickly. How's it going? You know, how you been doing? And then we get right down to it. We spend probably 5 hours and we just time we leave with a song. And that's been a whole new eye opening for me of, wow, this is like a business. This is what we do, and we show up, and I don't really have a doubt in my mind that when we meet up that we're not going to have a song. So that's something new for me. So it's been really great having him as a writing partner. And this song is one that we wrote together. And everything that we've written so far has been Christian music. So like worship songs that we would hope could be played in church someday. And so this song is called Never Ending Grace. Some days when I am weary and I may not understand, sometimes when I am feeling lost, I know you love me for who I am. The chaos that surrounds me, lead me to your truth, your name everlasting, Jesus, my all in all. You pick me up whenever I fall. I want to see your face and feel the rest of your embrace. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. That was a pretty song.
I have to admit, you know, being I'm Jewish, so worship music, worship song is not something that, you know, is very popular. It's usually more like religious hymns and so on. So, right. You know, when I came to the United States, I got exposed to it. A lot of rock bands. Yeah. And then, you know, I listened and I really enjoyed it. And then I listened to the words and it's like, oh, okay, what's going on here? So
yeah. It's
an interesting concept. Is that what your, the majority of your songs, you write some, you know, poppy music?
I write all different kinds of things. But as of recently, I would say I've been working a lot with Corey, and we're both passionate about writing that kind of music, and it's been going really well. So I would say as of recently, we've been writing a lot of worship music. But I love writing all different kinds of things. In the car, honestly, I write jazz melodies. I've never done anything with it.
That's crazy, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've never done anything with it. Maybe I should just show somebody who kind of knows how to play jazz instrument. I don't know why I haven't, but yeah. And when I'm playing the guitar, I kind of write stuff that's, you know, poppy and got a little bit of a country undertone, probably because of the progressions that I play. And so I like a lot of different styles.
And you recently talked to us a little bit about how you played at Verizon Wireless. Verizon Wireless is not even around anymore, I don't think, right?
They just closed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really happy, actually, that I got to play there while it was still a venue.
Yeah.
They recently had that music festival that's held every year. It's Fish Fest. So it's a annual festival that they have, and it's all that kind of music. It's all Christian worship music, and they recently didn't have it this year because they at that venue. I did go this past year, but they couldn't have it there anymore because they closed it down. So I'm really happy that I got to play.
That's
there.
An amazing
stage
experience.
You
got up there and you're like, oh my god, this is my moment. This is crazy. This is what it's all about.
It didn't really feel real. Like, I thought that I would be more nervous while singing than I actually was, but I think that it just sort of felt, I've told multiple people this, that it kind of just felt like a green screen was sat in front of my face, and I just did what I normally would do and did what I did at soundcheck, and I could actually see my family in the audience, which was really cool because
awesome.
It was daylight. So that actually helped a lot too.
That creates a magical vibe, especially like looking into a sea of people and to be able to see your folks too. That's pretty awesome.
It was amazing. And I got to meet one of my idols, Phil Wickham, backstage. I could see him out of the corner of my eye watching me, and it was just...
This is crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'll never forget that. He's written so many amazing songs and has been such an inspiration on me as a musician and writer as well. So he was who I wanted. He was the only artist that was performing at the venue that I got to meet, but he was the one that I wanted to meet.
That's awesome. That's not a coincidence, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't think so.
Who?
Go ahead.
Thanks.
We're like. I can't wait to ask you a question. Go ahead.
I mean, can you name any other influences in terms of music or?
Oh yeah, totally. I'm all over the place. Gosh, sometimes I'm like, should I narrow it down to one genre to try to do? But I really love so many different genres. I've got a jazz band that does weddings and things like that, so I'm passionate about jazz too.
Interesting. So you do like covers?
So we do all jazz.
It's called Martini. What's the name of the group?
Martini 5-0.
That's right. I like
Book
it.
Book us for your next wedding.
Yeah.
So I... Do you guys know Jamie Cullum? He's this jazz guy that's... he's pretty phenomenal.
Do you know who Jamie Cullum is?
No.
He's like a jazz pianist with like this also singer-songwriter rock edge to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like does all these jazz voicings, but has like a rock and roll personality. So he'll be like jumping on the piano and doing all this crazy stuff.
Modern day Jerry Lee
Lewis.
Yeah,
totally. And he's just like this gifted artist, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's nothing like I've ever seen. I just he's one of the artists that you have to see live. That's the point. You know,
yeah.
I mean, okay. Listening to him recorded is amazing as well. But when you see him live, it just goes, oh, gosh, this is what he was meant to do. And I've heard even because my grandma is actually his number one fan. I think she
that's
might,
awesome.
I think she might even be listening. So hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
But she listens to everything that he puts out. She follows him every single song that he's recorded, every bonus track, every video, you know.
He actually does a killer version of Wind Cries Mary.
Really?
Oh,
on
my
piano?
God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And it's incredible. It's so good.
Yeah, I've seen him live a couple times, and the best time by far was at the Largo. Do you know?
Oh, yeah. It's a great
it's
club.
So small.
Yeah, tiny.
And I just, like, I had seen him once before at Hollywood Bowl, and, you know, people are there to eat their picnics, and I go, it's Jamie Cullum, put down the sandwich and stop talking. Oh, my gosh. He's just so talented. Oh, my goodness. I could go on and on about him, but he just, yeah, he's such a gifted pianist. And
I remember you told me that Sarah Bareilles went to one of her shows,
yeah,
and you were just like crying, just like listening to her sing. You were like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
she's amazing.
I hadn't planned on that at all. I didn't think that, I don't know, crying when you went to a concert would have been something that would happen, but that concert was, I guess, overwhelming in a way that I didn't expect, because I do I love Sarah Bareilles as a writer, a singer. So I think when we got, I think I saw her at the Greek Theater a couple of years ago, and when she started playing her opening song, I think it was Chasing the Sun.
You were like, this
just,
is it.
I just don't know. I really don't know what it was. Usually when you cry, you're like, oh, I know why I'm crying. This is a sad song or emotional connection to me. But it wasn't even that. It was just like, I love this so much.
She used to open for me at the Temple Bar in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go, you know, usually an 8 o'clock slot at a, you know, any club on a Friday night, that's not the best slot.
Mm.
I'd
just
walk in,
people coming in,
and there'd be 250 people,
wow,
just sitting on the floor waiting for her to play. And then she'd play, and it was just like, oh my God. So I mean, that's how we became friends, and we've done South by Southwest together and done all kinds of stuff. And she's,
shut up,
she's awesome. No, she's,
oh my God,
but you,
I'm
but
so
like
jealous.
Even in that small venue, everybody in the room was like, she's gonna be a superstar. You just knew the trajectory was there, and she's,
mm-hmm.
I actually just emailed her like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, or maybe a couple months ago now, and I said, oh, what are you working on now? She's like, I'm writing this musical. And she took time
Waitress.
off. She did this,
yeah,
musical called Waitress. And I'm like, that's just, you're just a talent. If you can just, I'm going to, you know, hold off on this recording thing and write a musical and,
nice,
you know, epic, put everything. And it was like up for Tonys and stuff. It's,
wow,
just crazy. So who else? What other influences?
Sarah Bareilles is definitely a big one. Let's see. In the jazz world, if I had to name a couple more of those, I have my mom to thank who kind of played it growing up. But like Eva Cassidy, and there's this artist Jane Monheit, who's had a couple recordings that I've just played over and over, or she played over and over when I was a kid. My mom played a lot of Natalie Merchant, and Jewel.
Yeah, great singers, great songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad played a lot of Elvis.
Nice.
And a lot of other random things. He played a lot of Barry White too. I'm not sure how influenced I was by that, but
you can never know. It's subliminal,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You absorb it, especially as a child.
Yep.
You absorb it.
Yeah.
And
you
absorb the appreciation for music. You know,
yeah,
Barry White might not be, you know, the best choice for a Christian home, but hey, I mean, It's the musicianship, right? Yeah. It's the lyrics.
Well, it's uplifting.
Earth, Wind,
you know?
And Fire. There was a lot of that. Yeah.
Your dad's awesome. Shout out to your mom and your
dad. So you grew up in a house that...
And your sister.
Yeah, you grew up in a house that really appreciated music. So, kudos for your parents that let you, you know, just let you follow your passion.
Uh-huh. And you've made some records. What are you going to play us recorded-wise? What are we playing?
You're talking about not live, but...
Yeah,
no, like right
song.
Now, yeah.
Song that
you
sent
you
us.
Want the song. Okay.
Yeah.
This one... is one that was released last year, around this time. So it's been almost exactly a year. And this was a song that I wrote while I was in school at Cornell School of Contemporary Music. And it was, I wrote it on piano. And as I was writing this song, I sort of knew that it was going to be something that I was proud of. I wasn't really sure what it was going to end up being as I was writing it, but...
You knew it was something special.
Yeah. When I finished it, I kind of used my time in school to get musicians around me and make it a project and basically take advice from anybody that I could. My voice teacher at the time... Delby Smart, and
no, that's a name.
Yeah, and Jessica Vautour, and just instrumentalists that I have been so lucky to just be with at school, fellow peers who can give me advice, and engineers, and I'm so lucky. I had so many people on board with this project. It was a long time recording because I was in no hurry, you know, and so kind of just got to lay a bunch of instruments down on it and see what we came up with, you know. And this song is called Light Up the Night.
All right.
Yeah.
Take over.
So Pretty. It's a pretty song. Man, it makes you feel good.
It does.
It's like, it's just one of these
hot
songs. Yeah, I just want to, it's like a heart feel good song. So you did a music video for this. I remember seeing this online. Tell us how that whole thing came about.
I did. Yeah, it's one of the first music videos I've done. Most thought that went into a video of mine. One of my good friends, Zena Hodge, if you're listening. Hi, Zena. I've known her since I was 2 years old, and we're still best friends to this day. So I just went to her. She's a makeup artist. She's sort of surrounded by people
in
the industry. And so I was like, hey, I want to do a video. Who do you recommend? So she gave me a couple of people, and we met up. And I was like, I have no idea how to do this. But we met up
That's
and brainstormed
though,
some ideas. Yeah. And they were really nice. And helped my vision come to life, you know. And
it's a beautiful video. You're like dancing and singing, and then there's a pianist playing too. It's like really well done.
Thank you. I was really lucky to be able to work with too. His name is Dinar. He was dancing in the video as well, and he was amazing to work with on the video. So nice and just everything that you could hope for. And he actually was in the production of The Lion King, you know, as a dancer.
That's crazy.
And it was just like, wow. And
like
just everything sort
are...
of came together. And yeah, just it was an amazing experience. I think we shot everything in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then how long from after you shot it, how long did it take till it was out on YouTube?
It was about a year ago, so it's kind of hard to think now, but not very long. I mean, just enough for, you know, the guy who was editing it to put it all together, sort of send me a few things and me go, oh, I like this, I like that better. Do you think you could get this shot in there, you know, type of deal, and a few back and forths, and then it was pretty much done.
Like, this is it. This is my vision.
Yeah.
No, it's an incredible moment, though, when it's finished and you know it's done. It's like, this is it. This is, like, the visual for music. And, like, you know, like, making music is auditory. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's oral, you know, so...
Yeah.
Aural, I should say. A-U-R-A-L. Uh-huh. And when you have the visuals matching with that, it just completes this perfect picture. You know what I mean? It's like whatever the artist is envisioning for the message of the song, it's there. So your video is really well done. I remember seeing it. I was like, man, she's thinking.
Thank
what are you going to play us next?
Let's see. This one is also fairly new.
World premiere?
World premiere.
You're
looking for the button.
World premiere.
Huh? Oh,
world
gosh.
Premiere.
Oh my god. I think so, kind of. I played this song, the only other time I played this, I think, was maybe at a small coffee house. And where else? Oh, I just recently did a video for a guitar pedal to showcase some reverb for the company AC3.
That's awesome.
And I played this song. So that would have been, if anybody's seen that video, that would have been the only other time. But yeah. So this song is called Little Things. And I think it was just me sort of sitting there. I don't know. I don't think I really sat down and was like, oh, I want to write a song about this. A lot of times... I feel like half the time, sometimes words just start to come out of my mouth and I just roll with it. But as I started writing it, I was like, oh yeah, I want to write a song about this. Just sort of telling all the guys out there that they should tell there's someone special. All the little things that that they love about them, and that kind of people need to be reminded. And people like words of affirmation. And
Real quick, I see you have a new guitar, too. I've never seen you with this guitar.
I got it before It's probably about a year old. I got it before Fish Fest.
You're like, I need the right guitar to make my performance over the
top. Partly.
No, yeah. It's all you got a Martin. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Martin. That's what I got.
I like it. I like it a lot. I wanted actually a smaller guitar. I'm going to get one of the smaller sized guitars so it'll fit my body more, you know, and it'll be a little easier to play maybe because it's smaller, I think, is my idea. And then I ended up with this huge Martin because I fell in love with the sound.
Yep.
It's just bigger. Much fuller.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay, this is not what I planned on. I came in here wanting to buy a tiny Taylor, and I walk out with this big Martin.
Big Martin.
But, yeah, it's what I liked once I got there, so.
That's the important thing, yeah.
Yeah.
The sound.
Yeah. All right, so this one is called Little Things.
Mixing there.
Oh,
I was like,
you
know what? He never puts reverb on my guitar when I play. That's a complaint favorite.
Because I'm not sitting here. I'll no, show
that's
Eddie.
True. That's true. Oh man.
I can imagine, you know, once this song comes out on, you know, on an album a couple of years from now, couples will have that in their wedding.
That's right. It's such a beautiful song. You got to record that. Have you recorded it?
Oh, thank you. Nope.
You got to record that song. That is a money maker right there.
It is.
Money maker. No, that's a beautiful song.
Wow.
Where are you performing next?
Let's see. Well, next is a wedding. A wedding that my jazz band has. Next with my original
So we're not invited is what you're saying.
You're not invited, and I don't think they would appreciate it if I told you the time and place on the air. So.
And their names. And.
I'm playing with my jazz band for a wedding reception on Sunday. So that's exciting. And
where can people find you? Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say that I've also gotten into managing the band as well, so it's a whole new thing for me to now be taking over that side of things and having to deal with all of the...
Jessica's one of my students, and now she's literally taking a page from the
book. She's ambitious, man.
I love it.
Taking all the right steps.
Seriously, it makes me very... You know what? Let me tell you something. not a lot of artists really take that initiative. That's what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. When you're like, I'm going to be my own compass. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And it's like, it's paid off for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists are like, no. I want a big manager. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay.
You should know the business part.
You have to know the business.
Otherwise, you'll get screwed.
Yep, exactly. So it's awesome that you're doing that. And it's amazing. And it's overwhelming. But you know what? You'll get through it. You keep doing it.
It was actually my drummer, who used to be a wonderful manager for our band. He just, you know, he went a separate way. He wanted to focus more on his other job. And he said, you know, Jess, if you want to keep it going, then I'll teach you how to do it. And I was like, I can't do it. I was like, I don't know how to do it. I was like, I'm not ready to handle this. And, you know, if I wanted to keep the band name and keep the role that we had going, you know, we had some great reviews online on our Gigmaster's website from previous clients that we had worked with, and I didn't want to just let it drop off because more clients were seeing that and trusting us, and I just was like, I've got to keep it going. And so I really had no choice. Oh, I had a choice, but I'm very grateful for his help in kind of teaching me what he'd learned on with that. And
so Martini 5-0,
yep.
Book them at your next wedding.
Yep.
Jessica Bird, what's your website if people want to find you and they want to book you for a club?
It's just my name, jessicabird.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
But it's Bird with a Y.
Yes.
Not like the bird in B-Y-R-D. The sky.
B-Y-R-D.
Ooh, I like this. What are you, a songwriter?
You know what? Oh, that's funny because over the weekend we had an event at Huntington Beach, and we met a videographer.
Be Huntington Beach.
That his company's name is Hummingbird with a Y.
Oh.
She's like, damn.
Hummingbird. That would have been cute.
Well, you know what, Jess? You are such a talent, and I love that you're just, like, hustling. You're making it happen.
Yeah.
I see the trajectory. I see the videos. I see that you're making records. You're making us all proud. Keep it up.
Thanks.
One more time, where's your website, and what's the name of the wedding band? One more time for everybody.
So the wedding band is Martini 5-0. You like the zero, not like a letter O. And you can find us if you go to gigmasters.com. You can find all of our information to book us for gigs. Just search in the search window for Martini 5-0, and we'll pop up. I think we're actually number 3 on Gigmasters, which
that's
is crazy.
Amazing. That's awesome.
Honorable.
Yeah, I can't believe
that's
it.
Not
it
easy
you're
to
doing
do.
The, you're
it's
doing
not easy
the right
to do.
Thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can find us on there if you want to book us for a private party, special event, wedding, whatever you need. And my personal website is jessicabird.com.
Spell out Jessica, because I know there's somebody going. JessicaByrd.com. Yeah. Renan, it's good to see you and have you on board.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much. You know how when you got the perfect guest for me every time you ask me to come in. And I want to mention, everybody, that August is the start of your 4th year with us.
That's right.
July that's 2014.
Right. That's right.
When you started with
Damn,
us.
And it's been that long. That's crazy.
Fourth season.
I'm an old man, Renan.
I'm old. You're
not. Well, on behalf of Renan, Jessica, you're a wonderful guest. We're going to definitely have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can't wait to have you on again.
It was a pleasure.
And Renan, I can't wait to see you again. So
we'll
see you guys next week. Eddie, we missed you this week, but we'll see you next week. My name's Nikki Carulla, signing out. We'll see you next time.
Yep.